right, everybody. Welcome to this week's edition of Come On Over, your maybe fourth favorite podcast, hopefully. Today we are covering the subject I am associated with more than any other thing on the planet. No, not professional body surfing, which we've covered, not weightlifting, and not plus size food modeling. Sandwiches. Sandwiches. Hey, Jeff, what's your favorite sandwich? Hey, Sandwich King, what sandwich have you made that blew your mind? Hey, where do you get your favorite Italian beef? Sandwich King Jeff Morrow. I am constantly approached by people on the streets, online, everywhere throughout my life, asking me about my love of sandwiches. Now, I'm not saying I'm sick of sandwiches. Emily, I'm not. And guess who is here? Emily, in the room, 6.5 feet away from me, because that's how we do in the Morrow family.
True story. We're looking at each other. It's actually kind of freaking me out a little bit. Like, we're usually doing this remotely. So hopefully this won't affect the quality of the awesomeness that all of you folks expect. But yeah, this is fun.
This is fun. Live in person. I'm barely looking at you. It's awkward.
Yeah. It's like I can't look you in the eyes, but I kind of am looking at you from the side.
We're not affectionate with each other.
Not at all.
None of the Morrow siblings. I mean, we hug and we're
kind of
we're very close.
Side hug.
We're emotionally very connected, spiritually.
But I've like never kissed you on the cheek, and I never want to.
No, we barely even hug it out anymore. It's kind of awkward, which doesn't really indicate the amount of love in our family, of course. But it's awkward right now.
It is. It is.
I don't want to stare in your eyes any further, so I'm going to look at the door.
Just don't look me directly in the face.
It's like, crazy.
Yeah.
So sandwiches, don't you agree? Everybody's always asking what my favorite sandwich is. It's the number one question I get. But guess what? We are going to address today. Finally, definitively,
what?
We are defining something that needs definition. This has probably overtaken the question of what's your favorite sandwich, Jeff? Is a hot dog a sandwich? JeffMorrow.com at Jeff Morrow. Is a hot dog a sandwich? The priest at the Catholic Church. Nombre de Padre, de Fili, Espiritu Santi. Is a hot dog a sandwich? He asked me
really,
when I
Father
go up for
Lapata?
Communion.
Father Lapata.
I go up for communion with the wafer.
Like, hey, BT Dubs, since you're up here, I know we're making people wait. Is a hot dog a sandwich? And here's a blood of Christ.
Exactly. A little blood of Christ, a little body of Christ, a little hot dog of Christ. Can't go there. Sacrilege. We will answer that question today.
Okay.
I'll maybe even give you my original poem answering the question.
Oh, wow.
And guess who's the authority on this subject?
Is it you, the sandwich king?
Jimmy the healthy chef?
No.
No? How about, you know, Joe the crazy guy in a food truck?
No, he doesn't know anything.
No,
about
it's
sandwiches.
Jeff Morrow, the sandwich king, who was crowned sandwich king by Bobby Flay about 9 years ago on season 7 of Food Network Star. We all know my history. I have sandwiches to thank for this career, this lifestyle. Being able to afford a 10 by 12 room in my basement to record a live podcast in M.
Yeah, it is really not the most impressive thing I've seen, but I think it's working.
There's a lot of instruments here, so you never know what might happen. I got a tambourine.
Yeah, just
I got
in
my,
case.
I got a mini leg lamp from A Christmas Story.
Yeah.
And all sorts of fun toys. So we'll get to the hot dog. Is a hot dog a sandwich question later in the show? I gotta do a deep tease, as they say.
Ooh.
Plus, I'm going to give my favorite 12 sandwiches.
What?
I got to say that they are the top 12 sandwiches.
Of
because,
all time.
Again, I am Sandwich King, and I am laying down my crown. I'm sitting on my throne, which is an outdoor patio chair, isn't it? Do you see it?
Oh my God,
yes,
it is. I have no idea.
It's
wow.
Like,
it's really blue. It's bright,
very
beautiful blue. And I'm on a folding, a non-padded folding chair, guys.
It is. And it's that.
Only the best for Sissy Emily.
It's not the brown metal folding chair. It's not the black one. It's the taupe.
It's
clay
taupe.
Colored. The kind of folding chair that if I put on my hardwood floors upstairs, gouges.
No. Oh no.
Terrible. We'll get to top 12 sandwiches in a little bit. But first, Emily, you wanted to do this. This is a new little segment.
Yeah.
You want to read some reviews of this up and coming. Bootstrap.
Booting it up.
New, growing, ever-changing dynamic podcast called Come On Over. What are some reviews? I don't care if they're negative. I like a fire. Creates motivation for me. What you got?
Okay. All right. There is a great amount of reviews and our average is 5 stars.
Thank you.
Wow. That was loud, especially when we're 4 feet apart. But anyway, this first one is from Sandy LZ. 5 stars. She says, please do more episodes. Definitely can use the laughs right now. Love food and love to laugh. then you will love listening to Jeff give his cooking tips and fails, all while dropping the occasional F-bomb.
Hello.
So good.
Look at me, going blue. That's very nice. Who is that? What was her name?
Her name is Sandy LZ.
Sandy LZ, thank you very much. If you are listening, that's great. It's encouraging, and I believe you. And I don't know, or am I related to any Sandy LZs? Are
no,
you?
No, we don't have a single
This
Sandy
is not a ringer.
Family.
It's not a plant. It's next like- positive review or negative review. We're an average of five stars in my brain right now. Keep going.
Yeah, so here's another five-star review. This is from Gorducci.
Gorduch!
Gorducci says...
You might think we're related to Gorducci, but we are not. Continue.
We are not. And it says, recently moved from Chicago to LA, and I already know I can count on this for my weekly, monthly dose of home.
Dose of home?
As genuine as the smell of melting rigot, which that is spelled out phonetically, people.
Melting rigot.
Yes. As genuine as the smell of melting rigot emanating from this sibling pod duo.
Ooh.
Actually learned a lot about food in ways I can understand too. Cool. Activate Aaron Neville vocals. I don't know much, but I know I want more.
Oh,
I put in a little,
snap.
gave the
you
people a little something.
I like that.
Yeah, so that was an excellent review from our friend Gorducci. Thank
you, Gorducci. Thank you so much. Keep listening. Keep doing it and getting better with each minute once we figure it out. Next.
Yes. Okay, next one is from Mandy424, another five-star review, and says, enjoyed the first episode. Thanks, Jeff and Emily. I like the sibling banter, Chicago references, and current event stories.
Ooh.
Yeah. Great episode in length to step away from the chaos these days. Can't wait for the next episode. That's a great one.
Hey. Boom. What was her name, Mandy?
Mandy424.
424. Almost 420. Just kidding. No. Next review. Give me a bad one.
All right.
Well, I need to be brought off my high horse.
You know,
maybe not.
Real bad.
I don't want it.
Okay.
Well, I want
it's coming.
It.
I'm giving it to you. And this was the only non-5-star review, which was a 1-star review.
Oh, it brought our average way down.
Totally, this MF-er. Anyway, the title of the review is Worst Period Neighbor Period Ever.
Okay.
And the name is some gibberish that, you know, just typing on the keys, WJDJD.
Chicken.
So someone who is
chicken
hiding behind the almighty computer throne. Mm-hmm. It says, show title is very misleading considering how abrasive of a personality this guy has in real life. Got lucky once with no talent, but this yet another Jeff Morrow failure.
So many failures.
Yeah.
Hey, you know what? That motivates me even further, possibly more than the positive reviews.
I'm not done, Jeff.
Oh, okay,
I'm not
sorry.
Done.
Keep
so going. He said, got lucky once with no talent, but this is yet another Jeff Morrow failure. The only positive about this podcast is that you don't have to see his face.
Oh, that's nice. Ooh, you get a little.
God, Jeff, what did you do to this person?
I don't know.
Like, who did you hurt? Who did you bully? Because I think this person knows you because he says how abrasive of a personality you have in real life.
You know what this could be? I know who this is.
Oh, who?
This is funny.
Really?
Okay. I think this is an actual person who used to live next door to us in our condo when we lived in the University Village neighborhood in the city. They were college kids, and we had the audacity to ask him to quiet down a couple of times when our infant was born, when Lorenzo was an infant, or my wife was 9.5 months pregnant and miserable and trying to get sleep. And these guys were, you know, they were having keggers. They literally threw fraternity socials in the apartment that their parents, I think, owned or rented for them.
This
obviously,
like
it was a
two or three.
It was a 3-bedroom front unit. If you know, it was like a premium, better than our unit. And meanwhile, I'm making $14 an hour cooking while my wife's a super pregnant nurse trying to afford our mortgage while raising a kid. And these kids made it very hard. We had upstairs neighbors that were awesome that would quiet down. We'd have to ask to quiet down all the time, but they were polite about it. Mm-hmm. These guys weren't. And this guy has trolled me on social media from day one. But I don't know. I like it. I think it's funny. You know, it's the history. But I'm just guessing if this is the guy, that's why it says worst neighbor ever.
Yeah. Oh, dude.
And
comes together. But you know what? It feels like.
I don't have a lot of enemies, Em.
I know
all right?
you don't.
And these guys are my, like, I don't know why. I think they're brothers or something. I don't know. I got famous, right? And then I was just a target for them. I don't really communicate via Twitter much anymore, but there was some banter going on back where they're like, you know, my wife's something this, and they talk about the kid and everything.
Oh, jeez.
So listen, I don't care. Guess
below
what?
The belt.
I'm sitting in my 10x12 basement.
It's great.
With multiple microphones.
So many.
So many microphones.
Three.
Nice carpet. All right. And folding chairs.
Durable.
Who's the winner today? What are they up up to right now. They probably got pretty good jobs. You know, they went to a good school and they probably came from a very nice family. They just made some bad choices along the way and maybe didn't respect their elders. I hope those kids, as a kid now and living in an apartment building or a condo, paying for it themselves, getting woken at 3 a.m. while their kid cries again.
For the third time.
That's all I wish. Okay. How you go through what I go through. All right. But let's bring it back to the land of Positivitron.
Yes, indeed. So, Jeff, we're done with our reviews. I think we had a nice little
dip. It was good. I'm very pleased with the reviews. Keep them coming, guys, because the more reviews we get, the more, you know, we bump up the review list. Yeah. I don't know if there's an algorithm for that, but let's do it. All right. Next segment on the outline, Emily.
How was your week this week, bro?
Good. Great positive week. Last week, I rented a house with some close family members in our bubble. Just a couple choice few, Emily being one of them.
Yes. Oh, cute.
That was me.
Wow.
Emily being one of them. My other little sister, Dane, D-Bone, D-Lish, was there as well as a couple others. Small bubble, took the plunge right on Lake Michigan. It was a beautiful house, wasn't it?
Gorgeous house.
We had
a
nice time. We got tan. We cooked so much. We ate so well. Emily brought her new boyfriend.
Chef.
Sorry.
Stop, I don't want to talk about my personal life.
That my review is 2 stars of you.
Wow.
Everybody's really upset right now. They want to hear about this guy. Listen, I'm going to tell you something about my little sis, one of my little sisters. Let me tell you about both of my little sisters. One of them crushes dudes, right? She's always been good with the dudes. She brings them around, right? She's had multiple boyfriends. Emily hasn't brought many men around. And that's not for lack of being a catch or a piece, as the kids say.
Because
I think she's the bee's knees.
Oh, thanks, Jeff.
And it's true, but you haven't really brought boyfriends around, right?
No one's been family worthy, let's just say.
Okay.
That. And I don't want to introduce people to the kids or whatever, and mom and dad and the whole shebang if I don't think there's, you know, some special potential there.
So, I like that. Yeah. And that's respectful. It was a big surprise. And when you told me that this man existed, you know, I was like, why don't you bring him by to the rental house? It's only an hour and 15 minutes away. And what was exciting about that was I knew that this person was probably, you know, someone currently special in your life, but also you told me he's a sous chef. And that is very exciting to me for 2 reasons. One, something in common.
Yeah.
Three, did I skip 2? I did skip 2. Something in common. 2, he's a hard worker. You can't work your way up to sous chef for a multi-restaurant group without have some hustle in your blood and you're not a freaking bust out. Plenty of cooks are, you know, party hard and get after it. But you got to be hardworking, right? To sustain a career in that, especially for a good restaurant and company. Also, you know, help me out. Every party, every get together, even when I go to my mom's, I got to help out with the food. Even though if I'm not cooking, I want just a little help. So when I learned these 3 factors, he got the invite and was allowed into the doors of the rental property.
Yes.
After he washed his hands and we gave him a full delousing scrub down using my patented power washing system.
Yeah, it was very uncomfortable for
him. I made him take off his shirt in the foyer and I blasted him with antimicrobial spray.
This is a semi-true story.
And then I said, turn. And then he spun in a little slow circle while I blasted the back of him and then did the front again.
Wow. Geez.
But he bought some great local burrata cheese, couple slabs of ribs that we threw on the smoke. I mean, it was very nice. So point being, my week was great because I think you guys had a good week. We all got to kind of decompress and be in a nice little bundle. So my week was great. How about yours? It was great because you were there.
Yeah, it was great. Feel very honored and gracious that you opened up your rental property to us. And it was a gorgeous rental property overlooking the water. No beach, though.
No beach.
There's no beaches.
Erosion, anymore. Man. Lake Michigan. People don't realize this. The water levels are 3/4 inch from the highest point they've ever been, which was in 1986. Right now, there is like where we were at. It goes up to the rocks. The barges come in and put all these giant rocks where the beach was. And it really is the instant personification of what might be happening in this world as far as climate change. Or it's cyclical. I don't know why. Not a meteorologist.
No.
Not a geologist.
No, you're not.
Not a global scientist.
I've seen it. You have some skills, though, with the global science tree.
I was once a young budding global scientist. And I don't even know if that's a real title, but I think it's a fun one. So my week was great. Your week was great. Yeah. Best thing I made this week.
Tell me about it.
I'm going to post this because I didn't see this online. I pulled it out right out of my bunghole.
Oh, wow.
Onto a plate.
Ooh.
I made it up on the fly. I'm improvising. And when I improvise, when I cook, that's when I make change.
Okay, on the fly. What you made?
Swordfish al pastor.
What? good.
Got a big swordfish steak, had some achiote paste, which is like a ground berry, that big red, you know, it gives al pastor its flavor. Mm-hmm. Red, floral, smoky, peppery. So I mixed that with some agave, some fresh orange juice, salt, and fresh garlic, zipped it up, marinated it for about an hour, because it's fish. You can't marinate fish. It turns into what? If you over-marinate fish,
turns into canned tuna. No, not canned tuna. All right, canned whatever.
So I marinated an hour, smoked it low, about 170, as low as my smoker goes, for an hour to impart delicious smoky aromas, char hickory, which is charcoal and hickory combined, dark deep, dark deep smoke.
Okay.
But without cooking it. Then I grilled the shit out of it till 130. Perfect. Cut it like a ribeye, served it on tacos with some grilled pineapple and onion and grilled jalapenos. And it was freaking phenomenal.
That sounds phenomenal.
I'm debuting this recipe on the comeonover.com podcast page. In the show notes for this show, I'm going to post a picture. I withheld my Instagram post knowing that I wanted to save it, this little tidbit, okay, for today.
Boom.
So that's what we're going to do. We're going to post it and you're going to make it. And it couldn't be any easier. And guess what I did this week? It's now Saturday here. I ate nothing Monday through Thursday, nothing but fish.
Oh, wow.
I had some bites of meat here and there. Lorenzo, I'd say,
you can't go cold turkey.
I still got the canines. So I did that and I felt great this week.
Oh, great.
And then I just had like three different types of smoked meats last night for dinner.
Oh.
And I felt it. My poo-poo smelled very differently.
Oh, wow. Oh, man.
Yep. But,
so were you not boozing at all this week?
No, I don't booze all week.
Oh, yeah.
I don't booze till Friday.
Oh, okay, cool.
Now it's Saturday, and I'm having myself a white ale by Odell Brewing Company, which is Fort Collins, Colorado. Emily, did you know that?
I did not know that.
Neither did I. Okay. So I looked at the label, but it was one of those cool, dank sampler packs that I love. I have like three different kinds of beers in a 12-pack.
Sampler pack?
It's like a sampler platter. Who doesn't love a sampler platter?
I love appetizer sampler platters.
Oh, the best.
That is like, I'm being told I'm dying tomorrow. What do you want to eat? I want an appetizer sampler platter. We're talking poppers.
Yep.
Boneless buffalo wings,
a must.
Artichoke dip. I want crab rangoon.
Ooh, rangoon.
I want
you got tater skins.
Tater skins 100%.
Totally desecrated though. You can't even I love the tater skins that are fried, right?
Yeah.
The frozen ones that if you eat without a beverage, you almost die.
Yeah, like it's lodged in your, what's it called?
The esophageal thing.
Esophageal tonsillitis. It gets lodged right there in that area.
I love a sampler player.
Yeah, but yeah.
Cheese sticks.
Cheese sticks. Cheddar nuggets. Different than mozzarella sticks.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's all I want in life. And then just, you know, cry with shame afterwards.
No, there's no reason. But you can't get, like you need like 2 to 3 people for a sampler platter. Anything over that and then you're having things.
Yeah, but it's my last meal, so I can do whatever the hell I want.
Oh yeah, that's true. You're already dying. All right, Em, it's time for the other segment we love here. 3, 2.
You got a question, I got an answer. RTQ&A. You need to mail it on fire. RTQ&A. Never have I run so fast in my life to answer your questions day and night.
I think that one's going down, and that's going on
favorite.
The compilation disc. That's
totally
going on the now. That's what I call Come On Over podcast music. That one came, you know, again, like most great things. That was like a one taker. First of all, I gotta say, I hope you guys are enjoying these songs because it has really defined my quarantine. Is writing like 4 or 5 12-second songs a week. It is so much fun, and that was my punk version.
I love it. It's got some rancid vibes.
Yeah.
It makes me, you know what? It makes me want to party. Not going to lie. I just
throw
wanna
a bear can at the wall.
Exactly. Or throw myself against the wall. Throw a baby against the wall.
Well, stop.
Not a baby. Okay. A doll.
A baby doll. I don't advocate throwing babies anywhere.
No, people.
That's Emily.
We are not.
She's obviously very confident right now with a man in her life.
Stop it.
She does not know how to handle the English language. She's so confused. All right. Yeah. I want to know what you guys, we got questions via AskJeff@comeonoverpodcast.com.
Just know, Ask Jeff.
I blew it.
I know.
I blew it.
AskJeff@comeonover.com, which we will get to some questions.
Oh, that's separate. So I have to write a new song for that?
I know. I didn't want to overload overload you. I know you had a hard week of just eating fish and I didn't want to overload you, but maybe later.
Okay. We'll see. Okay. Give me the first one. I haven't even read these. I just want, I like spitballing them.
Well, I know that's how we roll up in here. So for IG Q&A, first one, you did a post actually from when we were at our little rental house or big rental house, whatever. Mm-hmm. And you had smoked 2 racks of ribs and a giant gold label Wagyu tenderloin from at Snake River Farms, mm-hmm. rubbed in your black powder rub.
Love it.
I was there. I ate all the things and it was real good. And at P.E.K. Smith, what kind of smoker do you use?
I used at the house, there was a smoker box in a Weber Genesis standard, like the most ubiquitous grill I think on the planet is a Weber gas grill, and you get the smoker box attachment. Worked great. Right? I soaked the chips because it was a long smoke. I didn't want it flaring up too much. Sometimes you don't soak the chips, but these I just used whatever we had on premise, which was like hickory. It's perfect. At home, I use a Traeger pellet smoker with Lumberjack Char hickory pellets, which give a charcoal and hickory real strong, dark, smoky flavor, which sometimes is hard to mimic, you know, natural wood smoking with like offset smokers and all that. So that's what I use. Next question.
Next question at LizzyLizard18 says, these look amazing. I was going to attempt to do ribs in my slow cooker this weekend. Do you have any pointers? I've never made ribs before.
A lot of different theories on how to make ribs. You got the 3-2-1 method, which is smoke for 3, wrap for 2, unwrap, smoke for 1. That's probably the best place to start. If you're super tender, fall off the bone. It's hard to mimic that style of ribs a lot of people, I think, grew up eating, which are like just kind of the meat jelly, just like a cartoon cat sucks the flesh off of fish. You just suck it right off the bone. I like a little chew. I like a smoke green. I like a bark. Do that 3-2-1 method. Look it up. AmazingRibs.com has a great recipe. That's probably your source. Me, I just smoke it low and slow. I wrap it when it starts to bend a little bit. When you bend the rib at that kind of apex point, the flesh should start breaking open a little bit. You've overdone it. If don't get any kind of break in the protein, you got to go a little longer. Okay. Have patience. Set aside a lot of time. The ribs can hold for a while. You can't rush a rib though.
Oh, okay.
Done.
All right.
Next.
For our next post, you posted a sandwich that your son, Lorenzo, had made where you showcased or he showcased his ribboning of the mortadelle in his self-made lunch. There were some chips on the side. You were very proud. And at Donna PK 2012 asks, as I am a deli clerk, I'm always slicing my meat very thin and piling high. What type of condiment / bread or any additions to the mortadella sandwich?
I love this woman.
Why?
I love you. Wow. What's her name? Donna?
Donna PK.
Of course it's Donna, because you go to any given deli in America and 3 out of the ladies there are named Donna.
Yep.
And I am saluting all the deli workers out there in the world. They don't get enough recognition. They are scientists. They are cooks. They are culinarians. And they are, why scientists? Why did you ask?
Why? No,
you
yeah, asked why scientists? Why I said that scientists? Seems like a little bit of a stretch.
Because you go, Donna, 3/4 pound, honey smoked turkey, nice and thin. And I call them delicatessenaires. That's a trademark word I made up.
Okay.
Delicatessenaires.
Delicatessenaires.
She shaves it perfect, gives you that. Mm-hmm. You don't want the first slice, though.
No, why?
And give me the third slice. Because the first slice that I want them to toss, it's oxidized usually.
Got it.
Especially if they're not wrapping it properly. But Donna got her wrap down. So you offer me the third slice when it's past that barrier of the first, you know, line of defense against oxygen.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then you say, hey, it's good. A little thinner. Boom. Then that's how you get another slice. But then she throws it on the scale and guess what it's at?
3/4 pounds. 0.75,
brother.
Boom.
3/4 pound. That's when they're scientists. Salute to you. Other things you can put on mortadella, I don't know. I like to taste it. So I love it like either fried or cold with a sharp cheese. But man, my favorite sandwich, which we'll get to when we get to our top 12 sandwiches in the history of mankind, is a mortadella. Just stay tuned. We're going to tell you what I put on that sandwich.
It's crazy.
Is that all with IG Q&A?
No, we got one more person at Shares Photos says, but are his condiments crust to crust?
Ooh. Yeah. You know what? Lorenzo doesn't put any condiments on his. He doesn't even like ketchup, really.
Oh, good for
He'll
him.
He'll dip into it a little bit, maybe some fries, but he's not like a ketchup guy, which I respect, right? He loves the purity of meat, cheese, bread, but he's a stickler for quality meats, medium cooked cheeseburgers, not overcooked. So, you know, without masking it in condiments, he's really gained a fine palate for what lies in between, minus the condiment. But yeah, he knows the thing. Crust to crust is a must.
So is that like the rule of thumb? You have to crust to crust?
Crusta Crust is a must. Always? Obviously, you don't watch The Kitchen on Saturdays. I mean, I say it like 9 times a month. Oh. Crusta Crust is a must, Emily, when applying mayonnaise, schmears, mustards, butter to the outside of your grilled cheese. Crusta Crust is a must.
Okay. Gotcha. Sorry.
Are we even related? This is embarrassing.
I don't know. I'm just like for the people out there.
But everybody knows. They're saying it. Crust to crust is a must.
Okay.
And I salute Lorenzo on that sandwich. I had no idea he made it. I went upstairs to make my own sandwich. And he goes, hey, Dad, look what I made. And I go, this is beautifully ribboned. I salute you. Always ribbon that meat nice and high. Better bite down, right? Better presentation. Mm-hmm. More appealing to the eye, especially when you cut it in half.
Yeah. Good for you.
We should probably segue into the top 12, right?
Yeah, do it.
I don't have a song for top 12 sandwiches.
Well, because it's very unique.
It is very unique, but we are going. Maybe I'll insert one. If you heard a song before this banter, that means I did some homework.
And if you don't, then, you know, we got busy.
We got busy with life.
Yeah, or you could just do a song right now off the fly.
Oh, top 12 sandwiches. It's what I'm thinking of. It's somewhere in there.
Good
Thank
work.
You very much. Number 12.
Number 12.
Hot dog.
There we go. You said it. Is a hot dog a sandwich?
A hot dog is a sandwich. It lies under the kingdom of sandwiches in the phylum. Long bun.
Long bun.
Long bun.
Gotcha.
Right? Not bun bun. Long bun.
Like DJ Long Bun.
DJ Long Bun.
Coming at you live.
Coming at you. DJ Long Bun. Spinning the hits. 2 for Tuesday. 6 for Thursday.
Wow.
I hope you like Foghat. How many songs? I mean, Foghat did even have 6 songs. So a hot dog is a sandwich.
Some people might disagree. Some people may be angrily emailing as we
speak. State your case. The kingdom of sandwiches under the phylum. Long bun.
Long bun.
It's sausage.
Yeah.
In between bread. You pick up. You take a bite. Mm-hmm. It's a sandwich. Is a platypus a mammal?
Yes.
Yes, it is. It Does is. It act or look, behave, birth, defend itself, procreate like any other mammal in the animal mammalian kingdom? No, it doesn't.
They lay eggs,
It lays
right?
eggs and it's got a duck bill.
Yeah, they're very prehistoric.
But they are a mammal technically. Just like a hot dog is technically a sandwich.
Okay.
I have a poem. An original poem, the first poem I've written since college, my creative writing class, which I got a solid B in, Emily.
I got an A.
Should I read the poem now or wait?
I don't know. Why not just give the people what they want?
I want to give the people what they want.
Which
the
name may or of my... may not be this poem, FYI.
Okay. The name of this poem, can you guess it?
Is a hot dog a sandwich?
Oh my God. You are just...
I did it.
Beautiful. I'm going to actually play a little harp while I do this.
Actually, it's me playing the harp, guys.
Oh, it is.
Yeah. I'm wearing a white flowy dress also and by a pond that's in the basement.
Is a hot dog a sandwich? Are you a sandwich? Sure, why not? Or better yet, maybe so, but you're in between some bread and I can eat you on the go. Topped with onions, peppers, relish, and very generous schmears of muddled ballpark mustard and side of 6 light beers. Served on buns steamed into pillowy clouds of wheat, your natural intestinal casing snapping between my teeth. When you're served wrapped in paper with piles of skin on fries, perfection is achieved, each new bite a tremendous surprise. But are you a sandwich? Why must we choose? Who gives a flying Frank? To me, you're not even food. You're as emblematic as Betsy's fine flag, as Americana as peanuts in a bag. While watching baseballs fly deep, so deep out of bounds, in fighter jet sonic booms above sold-out Super Bowl crowds. So is a hot dog a sandwich? It's not my place to say. In fact, it's no one's natural-born right to try to make a claim. The discussion must be over, sandwich or not, for a hot dog is perfection. And that, my friend, is all we got.
Wow. Wow, Jeff. That's
powerful.
That was powerful. I shed a baby tear.
One baby tear.
Yes.
Like the tear that came out of the baby after you threw it at the wall.
It's the metaphorical baby.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, served on buns steamed into pillowy clouds of wheat. Just pure poetry.
Isn't it great?
It it's not.
I'm a wordsmith.
I know. I'm impressed. You know, Dr. Seuss vibes.
It did. It rhymed, you know, which people don't get. You know, a lot of people don't like the rhyming poetry. They think it's pedestrian.
A little bit.
But I give the people what they want.
And, you know, they want some pedestrian poems about sandwiches.
Exactly. And that's why we're just jumping right into it, Emily. Dude. Number 11, grilled cheese and tomato. Simple. Two ingredient banger.
Yeah.
White bread, butter, which we spread what on the outside of the sandwich?
Crust to crust, which is a must.
Thank you very much. If you can, four thin slices of tomato, not too thick.
Okay.
Right? Thin. Mm-hmm. Not like paper thin, but enough to that so it kind of weeps inside. And that's it. Maybe a little salt on the outside. Good American cheese, not unwrapped from the plastic, but at the deli counter from Donna. You want it sliced nice and thick. You get it. You dome it, right? You take your time, golden brown on the outside. Boom. Gooey in the middle. Nothing better. You want to dip it in a tomato soup?
Yeah.
We're not talking soup. We're talking sandwiches.
Okay.
We're talking about American combo.
So I can't dip it in tomato soup?
No, you can. I'm not going to elaborate on the tomato soup. Right. I'm sticking with sandwiches here today.
Okay, got it.
Number 11, grilled cheese and tomato soup. Number 10, rare roast beef on an onion roll with horseradish sauce and fried onions.
By
fried onions, I'm talking French fried onions, right from the can, if you got them.
Dude, my babe.
The best.
I put them in salads all the time.
Oh, so good. I always have a jar of that stuff. I talk about it on the kitchen all the time. But man, to me, my favorite brand is Boar's Head Rare Roast Beef. So good. You get it nice and thinly sliced, nice fresh onion roll, butter griddle that onion roll, put a little of that creamy horseradish.
Mm-hmm.
Make your own. I got a recipe there.
Okay.
I'll send it. You put in the show notes.
Show notes. I've taken
great. And I make my horseradish to the point where it makes my sinuses bleed.
That's how I like it.
I like it. I want to feel like someone took a 9-iron and jammed it into my left nostril, and that I wanted to feel it behind my ocular cavity.
Oh, wow.
That's how I love horseradish so much. Then you get the crispiness from the onions. You could throw a pickle on there. You could throw raw red onions, but you got enough onion flavor, I think, from the bun. So good. I love it. Classic. Made that for myself in various delis I worked at throughout my life. Number 9, Turkey Club.
Classic.
Lettuce, tomato, mayo, crispy bacon,
mm-hmm.
good turkey, or real roasted turkey.
Yeah.
This is when you use that roasted turkey.
From Thanksgiving.
Yeah. No. Do we triple deck it?
Yeah, that's the question.
You got to triple deck it.
It's so much bread. So much bread.
Are you eating this? You're eating this on, you got room service it, you eat it on your belly.
That's true.
In your hotel room, mm-hmm. on your bed.
Yeah.
At that point, who cares if you're having one more piece of bread?
True. Or an all-inclusive resort in Cancun.
That works,
too. They usually surprisingly have really good turkey.
Yeah, Mexico.
Clubs, right?
Yeah. Like mid to upper level resorts in Mexico usually mm-hmm. really churn out a really nice club.
Even the mid.
That is the benchmark of any great room service.
Really?
Hotel. Yes. Always. Club sandwich, especially when it's quartered, triple decker,
mm-hmm.
fries right and in the middle.
The toothpicks.
Toothpicks, right? I'll eat the toothpicks in a club sandwich.
Oh, wow. Okay, go right through your roof That's of your mouth.
Oh, I don't care. Not Chips. My first time. That's how much I love sandwiches.
Mm.
Number 8. This is my only non-meat or veg or cheesy one. Fried fish sandwich. Lenten special. Maybe you throw a piece of American cheese on there, but it's got to have...
Really?
Tartar sauce.
I love tartar sauce.
I love it. Mm-hmm. It's simple, but something about that texture of the soft fish in there, the crispy outside, is something you can't get with a fried chicken sandwich.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Or any type of deep fried sandwich. Me, nice, you know, if it's cod, if it's buttery inside, and I take a bite, and you're crunchy and soft.
Wow.
God, I'm jacked up right now.
Jesus.
I don't need the cheese on there.
No.
Lettuce, tomato, I like it. I'm a simple man.
I don't know.
I made 3 to 4 ingredients on my sandwich.
Yeah, keep it tight.
Number 7.
Yeah.
Fresh mozzarella, sun-dried tomatoes, fresh basil, like balsamic vinaigrette on a good Italian roll. That's yielding, but crusty on the outside. Gabish?
Gabish. Sounds so good.
Do I need to elaborate on this?
I don't think you do.
Little
I think
salt.
People know.
Sea salt on there too. My favorites from Cante di Savoia on Taylor Street in Chicago, Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
It was the deli. Literally right next door to our dad's office.
Yeah.
Grew up eating there.
Did you say you did the sun-dried tomatoes on it?
Yeah.
Because that's like clutch. Yeah. That's
you got to have
so
that. Because otherwise it's just kind of, you know, you're swimming in the same hot tub. You need to put a diving board in that hot tub. And that's how you do it. So and you know what they do a lot there too? Tomato on there too. Fresh tomato and sun-dried. Double.
They do.
Banger.
Mm-hmm.
Love that sandwich. Seek it out. That is by far the number 7 sandwich in the world, according to me. the authority on sandwiches.
The sandwich king.
This is not my favorite sandwiches. These are the top 12 sandwiches to ever exist.
Yes, of all time.
Of all time.
Mm-hmm.
Number six, real hot in the news for a year there. Fried chicken sandwich.
Oh, yeah.
Liked it before. It was cool.
Was it ever not cool?
Well, the Popeyes one like brought
it
to the.
Jeez, I live right by a Popeyes too,
and insane. That
it's by like a semi-busy intersection, and the traffic going into yeah. it is dangerous.
I've driven by that one several times, yeah. and I thought about taking the plunge.
Have you?
I ordered it,
and
it's really good.
It is
for the price, for the amount of protein. Like it is a bulbous giant chicken breast, which yeah. sometimes scares me.
I know we've discussed this in the past. I don't know,
but it works, man. It's a good sandwich. But
it is.
A lot of people make great fried chicken sandwiches, especially you know local restaurants or
yeah.
you know pubs a lot. You see it everywhere now. But mm-hmm. so try it as long as the chicken's kind of brined, got a little sweetness in it, craggly crust, you know, like a craggly breading, like just
shards, craggly.
I use it all the time.
I don't know,
especially when talking about breading in something fried, craggly. You want craggles,
okay? Craggle
and lettuce, tomato, mayo. It's really one of the few sandwiches I like plain mayo on.
Really,
a club sandwich and a fried chicken sandwich. That's
makes
my jam.
Sense.
That is the number six greatest sandwich of all time.
Okay,
number five. It's four simple letters: beef.
Mm. Beef.
It's a Chicago style Italian beef sandwich. I don't need to talk about it too long. If you've never had it here, or maybe there's some places in New York, Hank's Beef in New York does a great representation of it. It's just when everything's kicking, you got the sweet peppers and the hot peppers, and it's dipped perfectly and it's wrapped nice, and it has a minute or two to kind of come alive in that wrapping. Things happen, right? Mm-hmm. It's like when you wrap a hot dog.
Oh.
That's why when I make my hot dogs at home, and I say this in my recipes and the cookbook coming out, everything. I wrap that summon a bitch.
Yeah.
I wrap it.
Wrap it.
And I wait 5 minutes. Steams the bun a little bit. It's great.
Ooh.
Things happen. So the beef sandwich, it's good. It's juicy. There's nothing like it.
Yeah.
And as my cookbook photographer said yesterday when we were doing the cookbook cover shoot.
Whoa, Pluggerino, man.
He got here and he ordered himself a Portillo's beef. And he goes, he's a natural born Philadelphian. Philadelphian?
Yes.
He's a cheesesteak lover. He goes, it's my favorite sandwich.
Really?
I think it's better than the Philly cheesesteak.
Wow.
Okay. Am I going to argue with him? No, I'm going to take the W.
Do it. Take it.
Have it.
Run
I got
it.
A great recipe. My pot roast style Italian beef.
It's real good.
Show notes. We'll put a link to that one.
I know. We'll do a link.
I'm exhausted. Emily.
I know. Now you have more things to write.
Yes. Number four. This is probably not commonplace,
no.
but this is my favorite top four sandwich, which is, of course, gospel now.
Yeah.
And we talked about it earlier. Fried mortadella. Very thinly sliced mortadella.
Okay.
Italian bologna.
Mm-hmm.
Look it up. Google it. It's our. We have it in our house all week. It's Lorenzo's favorite deli meat. He said it today. I fry it. I just put a bundle of it on a hot, flat, nonstick pan.
Okay.
Just let it sit there, medium, crispy, like fried bologna.
Wow.
Then I lay a couple slices of white American cheese on
Ooh.
It. And then that kind of gets gooey.
Mm-hmm.
I got the toasted bun, you know, buttered griddled bun. Brioche is the best with this because it's buttery too. And that's it. Throw a couple potato chips on there, barbecued Ooh. Or salt and vinegar potato chips for crunch and texture.
So
that's all you need. You don't need mayo. You don't need mustard. You could throw some hot peppers on there. That to me. Is simplicity and deliciousness. What was that noise?
That's your son.
Is my son?
We are in
the basement. He's on the VR system fighting the nether dragon. Please ditch the mainframe in the tunnel of sinister thoughts. Number three. I do that to him all the time. It drives him crazy.
Mm.
I'm that bad.
Sure, you're not going to give him a complex later on in life?
No, we definitely, most definitely
will. Yeah, exactly.
Isn't that the whole point of having a son?
I don't know.
There's no choice. Doesn't matter what you do. They're going to, you know. Hey, we've all been there, getting deep. Number three.
Another
question I get is a hamburger or sandwich. Yes, it is.
I think so.
All right.
It's not very controversial.
Not controversial.
No,
it is.
Same shape.
It's under the kingdom of sandwiches.
Yeah.
In the phylum, burger.
Burger.
Done.
Short bun.
Plain smash burger. Whatever cheese you want. I like American. Again, you can see I love melted American cheese. Big fan of like stinky blue cheese on there too. But man, a good double smash burger with that caramelized exterior, super gooey cheese, juicy interior, lacy edge, crispy, peeking out the bun at least an inch, patty style, diner style, lettuce, Ooh. Tomato maybe. But man, something about a smash burger really just licks my dong.
God, Jesus.
No, look at me coming wow. at you. The guy inspired me, my friend who inspired me, occasional F-bomb.
Jesus.
Number two. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Now, I had a hard time.
Did you know?
Why between so? Number two. I vacillated between the two and one spot. Because I love, they're so different. They're from different disciplines. They're both classic deli sandwiches. One's from an Italian deli. Well, yeah. One's from a Jewish deli, which I like equally.
Mm-hmm.
We grew up going to Manny's,
yeah.
a deli in Chicago. My dad loves Jewish delis. We love Italian delis. I don't know. To me, they're both independently the greatest eating experiences, but different, right?
Yeah.
Same warm vibe, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's a beauty. I said the delicatessenaires are the most unsung food workers on the planet. Yes, that's true. Mm-hmm. Number two, the deli, when done right, is one of the least appreciated food service, right? Yeah. Restaurant, mm-hmm. right? You go up there, you go to the case. Say you're going to Italian deli.
Yeah.
Or even a deli in the grocery store. You have an interaction with the person, you know, much mm-hmm. like you would a butcher. But butchers are cool, right?
Yeah.
Nobody's like, you don't see like a lot of tatted up hipsters working in delis. You know what I mean? It's always Debbie's.
Oh, I'm thinking.
Debbie's and Donna's are working there. Several Rays,
yeah.
okay. you know, and they're all working there. But, you know, you go to these new butchers and you got all the cool kids working in the butchers with the tats and the cleavers and the hat, little hat and the spectacles.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking
I've
about.
I've seen them. Yeah. Familiar.
So everybody loves them. There's books written about them. There's TV shows about them. But what about the deli?
I don't know.
Deli gal. They're out there slicing meat precisely.
Yes.
Making science nice. Edible by
daily.
Weighing stuff.
With their mind.
With their mind weighing it.
Yeah.
Their mind weighing everything.
Totally.
And that interaction is special. You get a slice, you get this. I mean, how many stories? I remember growing up and going to the grocery store, the deli, and that slice of cheese they'd give to the kids. I mean, it's just so memorable, yeah. right? Such a sense memory to that.
Yes.
So shout out to all the deli workers out there. We love you so much. It's just such a romantic experience when done right. Some people don't care, but
yeah.
that's like that anywhere. But man, looking at the meats, seeing what's fresh. Hey, if you're in between this turkey and that, just say whatever you need to open, start cutting. Because nothing like a fresh, opened deli cold cut meat.
Oh.
Number two.
Two.
Italian sub. Provolone, lettuce, tomato, oil and vinegar.
Mm-hmm.
Crusty yet yielding French or Italian bread.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
This was beat out by the number one spot for no other reason than I don't know.
Just
on any
know.
Given day, I love it, but I have gone on the record saying my favorite sandwich is this number one. But before we get to that,
okay,
I want to talk more about Italian subs. Too often, there's not enough meat. Too often, there's too much meat. You got to get to that Goldilocks zone.
I will take meat off if it's too much. I feel overwhelmed.
Yeah.
And also, you're going to be a little disappointed. Not a Don't fan say of Mortadelle. Not a fan of I always take off the Mortadelle. It's too hammy. It's just too
it's
damn
just
hammy.
Too hammy.
Hammy. Too hammy for me. It's usually too much. I like a little bit more bread to meat ratio personally.
I am with you. I think there is, again, that golden ratio of meat mm-hmm. to bread to lettuce, tomato to sauce or vinaigrette in this case.
Mm-hmm.
And it's important. And a lot of places just kind of slap ham and maybe some salami. And I'll tell you the top three. I know you don't like mortadella,
yeah.
but that for me is mortadella, capicola, gabagool as the kid says.
Mm-hmm.
Salami, like a thinly sliced Genoa salami, and that's really all you need. I don't like prosciutto on it because it sometimes it's miscut
yeah.
and it gets too like hard
floppy,
to chew. Yeah,
fatty.
It's hard. I mean, prosciutto should be enjoyed on its own,
yeah.
right? Room temperature,
some fresh mozzarella,
swimming with a little So I love that sandwich. It's great when it's wrapped in deli paper and you unwrap it and you got a side of barbecue chips that you dump on the wrap and you got mm-hmm. yourself a Diet Coke or a Diet Squirt.
Oh, no.
And
no.
you eat just that freaking sandwich with nobody around, oil all over yourself.
Yeah.
Shards of bread.
Wow.
Just flinging out. I'm sweating.
Got mouth cuts?
Mouth
from
cuts.
The bread.
No, that's when people use too hearty of a bread.
Okay.
You can't use this artisanal hipster shit. With an Italian sub, Emily.
Sorry, I live in Logan Square.
I know, that's a problem. But I'm saying it's got to be not mass produced, but fresh bread, right? We use these extra long 32-inch French breads, right? From Toronto or Ganella, which are local big Italian bakeries that supply all the Italian beef subs and everything.
Mm-hmm.
But those are like my favorite. There's D'Amato's around the Chicagoland area, which does great bread. Stuff like that. You know, I'm not saying like small batch, but it's good bread, right? Excellent. That perfect pillowy interior, lightly crusty. Yeah. I don't want the stalactites hanging from the roof of my mouth later. Wow. From, remember, you know, when you bite something a little too, right? And or you burn it and you get those little hangies that you got to pick off.
Then you're like screwed for a week.
And you're like, you know, you keep like working it with your tongue till one of them comes off. Those are stalactites, not stalagmites. So, those stalagmites are on the bottom under your tongue. That hurts too.
Yeah, it's like we're in the freaking caves of Tulum.
Oh, wow. Emily's a worldwide traveler today. Brought up Cancun and Tulum.
As you can
She's
see,
been to two places within an hour of each other.
It's actually an hour and a half, Jeff.
Yes, it is. That I've been there.
I've only been to Mexico.
Okay. Are we ready for the number one sandwich of all time?
I think people are on the edges of their seats.
Technically has two ingredients, but it's really only one ingredient. I'll say technically three with the bread. I have sayings about this. I've made it. I love it. My favorite sandwich to eat. A pastrami on rye. Now, the pastrami on rye is great because it's all about that meat. You just have to find the good meat. A couple places on the planet that do it. There's a lot that do it. Yeah. Deli pastrami is okay in a pinch. Maybe that's good for a Reuben. But for a true house-made, house-cured, smoked, hand-cut pastrami, there are a couple places that do it. And if you have it, it will change your face forever. Langer's in Los Angeles. The best. Katz Classic in New York City. Bunch of other places. Those are my two favorites. Mm-hmm. There used to be a place in Chicago called Fumari Meats. They do the Montreal style smoked meat, which is very similar to pastrami. Same thing, a little chunkier bark on there, which I loved. And you hand cut it and you go, give me the fatty end, and that fat's rendered like a brisket. It's a brisket you eat in a deli, Emily.
Okay. I didn't know
that's
that.
That's corned, like corned beef.
Yeah.
Rubbed in smoke. The real ones, cut it by hand, nice and thick. You have good fresh bread, not too thick, the nice crust around it, really soft, good amount, a little bit of seed in there. Great, like rye bread. To me, a little smear of mustard on there, a little deli mustard or Dijon or yellow if you're feeling nuts. Take a bite and the meat melts and melds with the bread. And you don't lack texture even because it's also unctuous and fluffy.
Unctuous and fluffy. Wow.
But it's hard to replicate here in Chicago. We did it at my former restaurant, may it rest in peace. And we hit it a couple times. Mm-hmm. It's hard to control that.
Yeah.
And that's another story for another show, Emily. I'm not about to get into that.
No, come on. We can like to keep it lighthearted.
I can't get into that now because I'm on a positive note. I want to end on a positive note. And it's pastrami on rye. I've said it. One of my many slogans besides crust to crust is a must. Is my favorite color is pastrami because nothing looks like it. There is no color. If they had a box of crayons, that pastrami would be the color I'd use the most when I'm coloring in class.
Yeah, it's like a mauve.
I don't even know what mauve is.
It's like a deep mauve.
And now I have to Google mauve.
Mauve, M-A-U-V-E. It's like a...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
I'm looking at this. It's a pale purple color. It's close. A mauve with a little red orange tint to it.
Yeah.
It's close, but it's not pastrami.
No.
Much like all other sandwiches. That's why it is... Number one on my list of top 12 sandwiches of all time in the country and universe and world.
Yes.
And it says here that you made a note here on this. Are 12 too many? No. 12's not enough, Emily. Everybody does 10. I didn't want to do the 13. It would be like a Gucci. That'd be like bad juju.
I know. Baker's dozen.
12 is good. No, this is just a solid dozen.
No, I know. I was saying you said 13.
Are people still doing baker's dozens? Like if I go order 12 donuts, do they throw in one without me asking?
Possibly.
Let me know.
I don't know.
Let me know out there.
Let
me know all your questions, guys. I think this, what else do we have left to do, Emily?
I think we can go to the viewer questions that came through Ask Jeff at comeonover.com.
Let's do it.
So our first question is from Rich V. And he asks, years ago, when you were on Sandwich King, you spoke about writing a cookbook of sandwiches.
Oh.
I really enjoyed that show and was wondering if you ever did or are working on such a book. Any information would be much appreciated.
Thank you. What's this guy's name, Eddie?
Rich V.
Rich V. I was close. Listen, Eddie, I am writing a cookbook. It is very much in the can, as we say. We're just editing it now a little bit. We just shot the cover yesterday. Unfortunately, it's not only about sandwiches. It is about all the food I love and grew up eating and have discovered along the way and I've done on the shows and everything. I've 100%, it's locked in. It's awesome. It's coming out March, April of 2021. Can't tell you what it's called. Can't show you the cover, but I'm telling you, man, there are so many great sandwiches in there. It's the biggest chapter in the book is the sandwich chapter. Of course, you guys are going to love it. It's like half memoir with a lot of very personal telling comedic stories, Emily, that I've never divulged in public before. And so there's a lot of great stories and laughs and pictures along the way. So I can't wait for you guys to see that. Thank you for asking and bringing up Sandwich King, which, much like the restaurant,
it's okay. Next. It's all right. On to bigger and better things, like this podcast. Anyway, so Sarah Reeb asks, so I recently purchased a wonderful jardinera packed in oil. What do you do with it besides a good sandwich?
Great, great. Jardinera packed in oil is really the only ones. The other stuff's packed in vinegar and it's more of a pickled jardinera mix. The Chicago style stuff packed in oil is the best. We put it on pasta. I put it on eggs. I put it on pizza. I eat it sometimes just literally out of the jar. We're obsessed with it in this town and in the Midwest in general, you know. But in the house, we are very obsessed with it. We have a mild and a hot on deck. Find them online if you can't get them. You can put it on anything that needs a little zing, a little spice, maybe sometimes even a little fat on a sandwich. Obviously, it's great. Try it on your like red sauce. Try it on a meatball sub. Put it on your eggs with a little bit of, you know, Asiago cheese, some scrambled eggs, and a little bit of jardinera. Ooh. Mix it with mayo. Spread it on a turkey sandwich. Spread it on your face.
Wow.
That's for a deep exfoliation. Do not do that. I don't advocate that.
No, don't. Please. Let's not do that.
Is there another question?
Because one of the questions was, like, is a hot dog a sandwich?
Oh, well, I guess we answered that.
Yeah, indeed. From Corey in Louisville, Kentucky. The only person to tell us where they were from.
Please send us your questions at
askjeff@comeonover.com. Ask Jeff at comeonover.com.
Please ask me and tell me where you're from.
Yeah.
Tell me how you're feeling. Let's connect.
I'm going to throw one more at you just because we're in the summertime. Hi, Jeff. What's your favorite summer food? And that is from April C. And that is from April C.
Why? Why did you not put her last name? She said she's being private.
She signed April C, but I could see that her.
Okay.
Email. Well, so I don't want to put her on blast. All right. What well, if she we'll wants
beep,
to,
can we beep that out then?
I can.
I don't want you to cut that out. I want you to beep out her name. So we have a beep in here. And I think that shows progress in this podcast.
All right. That'll take me probably about a half hour to Google and figure out.
No, you just go beep. You just do beep with your mouth.
I can beep with my mouth all day.
That's the new guy. So we will talk about summer foods, you know, cold beers. Dude. That's a summer food. Okay. Out on the porch. I love it too. I like smoked meats. I know I talk about it all the time, but like good long smokes, like the ribs or pork or anything outside, right? Because it's summer, you want to be outside, but usually have the time. And since it's pleasant to be outdoors, you can devote that time to babysitting a smoker. But I'm telling you, ribs, summertime, ribs, hot dogs.
I love hot dogs.
I eat hot dogs year round. So
I really
do.
They're like my favorite.
It's my favorite sandwich.
And if I can throw in some, you know, covering the basic bitches out there, rosé all day.
That is not technically a food, but yeah, you do like the rosé.
I do like rosé. And then I turn it into a spritzer. I've been spritzing because half the calories.
Oh.
And then you can drink longer.
It's like the Donnie Brasco. That's what he drank. White wine spritzes.
Big fan.
I'll take a white wine spritzer. Hey, give me. Look at this. I'm doing impressions. This is Al Pacino.
He's Jeffrey. Hey,
give me a white wine spritzer. You son of a white wine spritzer. Lefty. His name was Lefty.
Lefty.
Rest in peace.
You did good.
Remember the left hand? They got the ass scam boat. It was so good. And then he gave him the $500. And then he asked for it. It was so
heartbreaking.
Donnie Brasco. God. Shout out.
Great, great movie.
Good friend of mine.
Great movie.
Great friend.
You know what it's really time grew up for together. Now, Jeffrey?
Is it?
Just the tips.
Just the tips. Can you feel it be the down your neck, baby? Just the tips. It's what you expect. Just the tips. Just a little bit of tips.
That is another banger, bro. Isn't it?
Yeah, I got some Steven Tyler vibes.
I don't know where that one came from. I guess I was listening to What It Takes by Aerosmith from Pump a lot. And Take Me to the Other Side, which is another Aerosmith song. That's more of a B-side. Look it up. It's got a great hook.
I don't know.
Really into, you know, one of the first bands I discovered was Aerosmith.
I have a visceral reaction to Ragdoll. I hate that song.
Oh yeah, I don't like
God,
that.
I hate Ragtime.
But what it takes, I have a visceral reaction. That makes like reminds me of every seventh and eighth grade dance where I'd find my little crush. I'd be like, and that was like a slow song,
She didn't say yes, did she? Nope, she didn't say yes.
I'd be like, but it's What It Takes by Aerosmith. I'd be like, I couldn't wait for the bridge because that's when I would just kick it up a notch.
I'm sure the ladies
and try to squeeze her in tight, but you can't squeeze someone in tight who's not there physically dancing with. So I dance solo to What It Takes. Rump Pump, Aerosmith. There goes my old girlfriend. There's another diamond ring.
Wow.
Yeah, remember? Tell me what it takes to let you go.
Tell me how the pain's supposed to go. Do, 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 do. Tell me how it is that you can't sleep in the night. I'm thinking you lost everything what was good in your life through the toss of the time.
All right, just the tips, Emily.
Yes, get on track.
Do I have a tip this week?
I threw something
Did
at you.
Did you throw some tips
I said sandwich do's and don'ts.
Oh!
You're supposed to read the freaking outline.
I did, but that was sandwich. I thought that was a whole nother segment. Listen, we're bootstrapping this bay out, but I can tell you that sandwich do's and don'ts, always treat your bread right, okay?
Like a lady.
Like you would fine meats, right? If your bread is a couple of days past its prime, butter and griddle it on a flat nonstick surface. Right? That reactivates it, gives it a nice golden brown crust. I've said it a million times. It helps refreshen the bread without having to run out to the store and get fresh bread.
Mm-hmm.
All right? If your bread is frozen, defrost it properly. Nothing wrong with freezing fresh bread, wrapping it in little foil and then plastic wrap, freezing it. Throw it in the oven 350 for 10 minutes till it gets crusty again and soft and warm. Mm. Just treat your bread right because you can have the greatest pastrami in the world, but if you have crap rye, guess what that sandwich is going to taste like, Emily?
Crap.
Crap!
Meow.
Number two, proper ratios.
Yes.
Got to have meat to bread to bun to sauce to veg ratios. What is it? It's nebulous. It changes with each sandwich, but you got to use your brain a little bit.
Yeah.
Sure, you could put, if you're making it for yourself, you put a little extra of something, but no extra mayo ever.
No?
Never.
Never?
That's my tip. No extra mayo ever. I was in the deli game for a long time. I made a lot of sandwiches before you guys even knew who the hell I was or I won a show and had my first season of Sandwich King. And I worked at delis. I owned a deli with my cousin. I had a private chef thing. I fed 300 people a day. That was basically a deli and cafe. I sliced a lot of meat. My right forearm was so vascular.
Wow.
It looked like a mature redwood tree. Vascular.
Big.
Right arm. Jacked.
Wow.
I made so many sandwiches. And the only thing that irked me out of any order was extra mayo.
Yeah.
Extra mayo. It's a mess. You don't need it.
No.
I'll give you a proper schmear crust to crust, beautiful coating of the proper ratio of mayo to meat to cheese to bread to veg, right?
Yeah.
And then these people would ogle at me while I was applying the mayo and they do the little, hey, bump it up move. Now, hey, a little more, guy.
Oh.
Little more.
It's too much.
That's just the tips. I'm feeling good. Should we get Frank Steak?
I think we should.
I think it's time for Frank Steak.
Frank Steak. A little faster than the rebel brakes. Woo! Frank Steak. A little shallow, but it takes the cake.
Okay. Unfortunately, we don't have a Frank Steak today, even though I wrote him a song.
Yeah.
Because he texted us right before we started. He's home alone. I think he's got the house to himself for the first time in 4 months.
Yeah.
We're probably going to have to sign off and check on him right now and make sure he's not eating his own clothes.
Yo.
We love Frank. We'll get his take next week.
Yeah. And also, Frank doesn't eat sandwiches.
I want you all to come back next time, okay? Come on over.
Do it.
All right? Thank you guys again from the bottom of my heart. I'm Jeff Morrow.
I'm Emily Morrow.
Thank you for coming on over. Now, get the hell out.
Come On Over podcast is powered by Gameplan, executive produced by Steve Mandel, and coordinated by Liz Landry. And it's produced, edited, and engineered by me, Emily Morrow. Thank you for listening, and can't wait for you guys to come on over the next time.